sporty greetings to all of our Voice of America listeners. I'm VOA's Andrew Palcheski in Washington, filling in for Sonny Young. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up!
Well, if you've watched or listened to a sports broadcast at any point in the past 6 decades, you've more likely than not heard the voice of Dick Enberg. The legendary broadcaster reported on and did play-by-play announcing for just about every major sporting event there is. 3 Olympic Games, all 4 tennis Grand Slam tournaments, including 28 Wimbledon tournaments, the Super Bowl, golf's PGA Tour and Masters tournament, not to mention boxing matches, horse races, and countless games in baseball, football, basketball, college football, and college basketball. To say that Dick Enberg was a legend in sports and sports broadcasting only scratches the surface of his incredibly accomplished life and career. Sadly, we learned this morning that Dick Enberg passed away yesterday at the age of 82 of an apparent heart attack, silencing a voice that has been part of sports for literally generations. Enberg's unexpected death has left a huge void in the sports and journalism worlds, and looking at the reactions so far, he will be missed by many, many coaches, players, fans, and fellow broadcasters. Darren Revelle, a reporter for U.S. sports network ESPN, tweeted out, "In 1958, a man who was getting his doctorate in health sciences decided to take a job announcing Indiana University basketball at $35 a game. He went on to become one of the greatest broadcasters of all time. Thank you, Dick Enberg." The Super 70s Sports podcast wrote on their official social media account, "Dick Enberg's voice is that of my youth. Baseball, football, basketball, tennis, you name it. If Enberg was on the call, you knew you were in for a treat." But Enberg's fans aren't just remembering his talents in the broadcast booth, they're also remembering his character and his kindness. Legendary journalist Tom Brokaw writes that he and Enberg arrived in Los Angeles about the same time, two Midwesterners wide-eyed and excited about opportunities. He stayed the nice guy to the very end. Rest in peace, my friend. And NBC Sports' Mike Tirico had this to say about Enberg. He cared about the game and the viewers. He elevated his partners, a perfect fit calling any sport, and an even better guy when you got to meet him. I will cherish our chats in Queens, Northern Michigan, and at Wimbledon. Prayers to his family. Dick Enberg, an indelible part of our sports and sports broadcasting history, dead at the age of 82. And we here at the Sunny Side of Sports offer our condolences to his family and his millions of fans around the world. One of our big African football stories this week was CAF, the governing body of the continent, announcing the finalists for its annual awards ceremony, which will be held January 4th in Accra, Ghana. With a look now at the nominees for the top awards is Sunny Side of Sports contributor Kwabena Ofori.
CAF President Ahmad on Monday, December 18, officially unveiled the shortlisted nominees for the CAF 2017 awards. The top three for all the categories was announced in the presence of CAF Vice President Kwasi Nyantachi, CAF Executive Committee member Amaju Pinnick, with Ghana's Youth and Sports Minister Isaac Asiama as guest of honor. African Best Player nominees were Mohamed Salah, Pierre Aubameyang, and Sadio Mane. The nominees for Women's Player of the Year were Asisat Oshoala of Nigeria, Christiana Katana of South Africa, and Gabriele Abudi Ongwane of Cameroon. Youth Player of the Year went to Crepin Diata of Senegal, Paso Daka of Zambia, and Malian Salam Gidu. For Coach of the Year, Gernot Rohr of Nigeria, Hector Cooper of Egypt, and Hussein Amuta of Wydad Athletic Club were the nominees. Women's National Team of the Year nominees were Ghana under 20, Nigeria under 20, and South Africa. Referee of the Year nominees were Bamlak Tesema of Ethiopia, Gid Grisham of Egypt, Yanni Sikaswe of Zambia, Malan Diedu of Senegal, Mehdi Abiy Sharef of Algeria, and Papa Bakari Gazama of Gambia. Two more categories, as announced by CAF at the occasion.
Ladies and gentlemen, top three of the Club of the Year for the ITO CAF Awards 2017 are Al Ahly, TP Mazembe, and Wydad Athletic Club.
So those are the top three: Al Ahly from Egypt, TP Mazembe from DR Congo, and Wydad Athletic Club, the Champions League winner from Morocco, which just represent Africa at the Club World Cup in United Arab Emirates. Last category to be unveiled now by Mr. Okoronkwo will be the National Team of the Year when it comes to men, indeed, since women are already known.
Ladies and gentlemen, the top three of the National Teams of the Year for the ITO CAF Awards 2017 are Cameroon, Egypt, and Nigeria. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your support, Mr. Okoronkwo. Just as a reminder, all those nominees are listed in alphabetic order, and the winners will be known on the 4th of January here in Accra.
Nigeria Oil and Gas Company, ITO, are the headline sponsors for the 2017 CAF Awards, scheduled for January 4, 2018 in Accra, Ghana. For the Sunnyside Paul Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
Thank you, Kwabena, for that report. And sticking with football on the continent, here's a report from Sunnyside of Sports contributor Samson Omale.
We begin with the reaction of the Nigerian Football Federation president, Amaju Pinnick, who says he was at a loss with the exclusion of the Super Eagles striker and Chelsea midfielder Victor Moses from the shortlist of the three for the 2017 Africa Footballer of the Year award. Egypt's and Liverpool striker Mohamed Salah, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang of Borussia Dortmund and Gabon, and Sadio Mane of Senegal and Liverpool all made the final list for the awards scheduled for January in Accra, Ghana. He says he's not happy because he felt that Victor Moses should be part of the three. And from Uganda comes a report that youthful Irish coach John McKinstry is in line to become another former Rwanda head coach to handle Uganda Cranes. Federation of Ugandan Football Association Executive Committee, who sat on Thursday, passed and forwarded a list of four coaches to government for final guidance on the next Ugandan Cranes coach. The list thinned down from 90 applicants to include only four lucky candidates, include Desabri Sebastian from France, John McKinstry from Ireland, Emilio Ferreira from Belgium, and Ugandan Moses Basena, who is at the moment the interim coach. The Federation will announce the new coach after discussions with the Ministry of Education and Sports on the matter. And now to women's football. American coach Randy Waldrum has turned down the offer to coach Nigeria's senior women's national team, the Super Falcons. The NFF had named the former Trinidad and Tobago gaffer as the technical advisor for the Super Falcons in October after his application for the job and subsequent recommendation by the NFF Technical Committee, though subject to further negotiations. It is the second time in 18 months an expatriate will reject a coaching offer from the NFF after Frenchman Paul Le Guen declined to handle the Super Eagles in June 2016. Staying with football news, FIFA has banned 5 El Fasali players for 1 year after assaulting referee Ibrahim Noor El-Din in the final of the Arab Championship in August. The incident occurred after Esperance scored a controversial goal through Dahoudi against El Fasli in extra time to give the Tunisian side a 3-2 win and the title. The Jordanian players and staff protested Noor El-Din's decision and responded by assaulting him. In basketball news, Nigeria will compete in the 2018 FIBA 3x3 World Cup in Manila, the Philippines, after being awarded a wild card by the Federation of International Basketball Associations. Nigeria's 3x3 team, captained by Abdul Yahya, won their first FIBA Africa 3x3 Nations Cup title in Lome, Togo recently.
Thank you very much, Samson, for that report. I'm Andrew Palcheski in Washington, filling in for Sonny Young, and this is The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week. Right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
The Voice of America.
VOA. Joining me now over the phone is our sports contributor, Dan Friedel. Welcome, Dan.
Hey, Andrew. Nice to get a chance to talk to you. Sorry that it might be our last time on the air. Just wanted to wish you good luck in your new venture.
Thank you very much. I'll be talking about that a little later on in the show. But yes, as Sonny mentioned on Wednesday, I will be wrapping up my time on the show and at VOA. But we'll get to that in a minute. We'll start with this year in sports, talk about looking back. But I want to start with the news that we first reported at the top of the show. The death of sports broadcasting legend Dick Enberg at the age of 82. And Dan, what a loss for the world of sports.
You know, it's a sad thing when these iconic figures in the sports world pass away. Dick Enberg is somebody that I always associated with sports from the beginning of the time that I was able to identify some of the players on the field and know, you know, the significance of the different events. And Dick Enberg's voice was always on the TV. And you know, he was slowing down a little bit over the last couple of years, kind of moving away from the national profile and focusing on calling the baseball games for the San Diego Padres. Wasn't on the road as much in recent years, but he's one of these guys that will always be associated with the sound of sports for me. So it is sad to see him go, and, you know, unfortunately it just means we're all getting a little bit older.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where no matter what sport you might be a fan of, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, tennis, you knew Dick Enberg's voice because he participated and called so many of those sporting events. So he is someone that is definitely going to be missed across the sports world. And certainly one of the lowlights of 2017, one of the sad moments of 2017 as we look back in the sports world. One of the more exciting moments began towards the beginning of the year, perhaps the most exciting Super Bowl that we've ever seen. Of course, New England Patriots down 28-3 to the Atlanta Falcons. They come back to tie the game, force overtime, and win it. Dan, some are saying this is the best Super Bowl they've ever seen. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think there's always the possibility of recency bias. We hear people talking about it during the World Series and the Super Bowl and the NBA Finals and the college basketball championship games, all of those sorts of things. But, I mean, in a purely objective way, the fact that the Patriots made up their 25-point deficit starting in the middle of the third quarter, forced overtime with some spectacular plays, and truth be told, some mistakes by the Falcons, and then going on to win it in overtime is pretty remarkable. If it's not the number one, it's one of the ones in contention for being number one. I mean, if you just go back to the Super Bowl, I think it was the second Super Bowl that the Patriots won in this Tom Brady, Bill Belichick era against the Carolina Panthers. I think it might have been in 2003. When Adam Vinatieri made the game-winning field goal to beat the Panthers when it looked like the Panthers were the team that was in control of that game. So, you know, the Patriots have been the dominant franchise in the last 15 years, and their name is going to be associated with not only the most exciting Super Bowls in recent memory, but being one of the most successful teams in NFL history.
Yeah, and I guess we should qualify that statement that it's probably not one of the most exciting Super Bowls if you are an Atlanta Falcons fan, because they have that as part of their history now, giving up 25 points and losing, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, as is sometimes said. You know, talk about teams that have been dominant as we look, move forward in 2017 to June of 2017 to the NBA Finals, the third year in a row that the Cleveland Cavaliers faced off against the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors won this so-called rubber match pretty easily in 2017. Of course, they won in 2015. Cleveland won in 2016. So it was up for grabs in 2017, and Golden State ended up winning it. But really, the dominance of these two teams has been a big storyline for the past, not just this year, but for the past few years in the National Basketball Association.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Warriors and you say, well, two seasons ago when the Cleveland Cavaliers beat the Warriors thanks to some spectacular plays by LeBron James and Kyrie Irving to give Cleveland its first major sports championship since the 1960s, that series really could have gone either way. I mean, the Warriors had these outstanding players, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Andre Iguodala, Draymond Green, players like that who are, you know, on the list of the best players in the NBA, and then in the offseason they add Kevin Durant, who arguably, you know, in some arguments is the number one player, certainly the number one scorer in the NBA, and it's a super team. A lot of people are making lists about the best sports moments of 2017, and they're talking about Durant making this easy three-pointer when the Cavs were leading with about 50 seconds left in Game 3 over LeBron. It just looked like LeBron and the Cavs players were surprised that Durant was going to take that shot at that point. He puts the Warriors ahead in that game, and they go on to win 4-1 in the finals. And it's one of these things where you think, well, as great of an individual player as LeBron James is and how well he does in making the rest of his team better, when you've got five all-stars on the court at once, like the Warriors have, it's a hard team to beat.
Oh, definitely. And it's something that a lot of teams have been looking at and saying, how do we kind of crack the code to beat them when they are so stacked like that? And sure enough, the Golden State Warriors are up at the top of the Western Conference yet again so far this year, just only partway through the NBA season, but they're doing quite well. And there, we're going to actually, we talked about them in June for the NBA Finals, and we're going to be talking about them on Monday, Christmas Day, during this big rematch between the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors. What do you think we'll expect from that game?
Well, you know, the Cavs had a slow start, and I believe I was speaking with either you or Sonny earlier this fall when I said, oh, maybe the Cavs, you know, are not going to be the team this year that we were expecting and the team that we have come to expect over the last few years. And lo and behold, they go off and win 12 or 13 games in a row and get themselves back atop the Eastern Conference, you know, just behind the Celtics and the Raptors at the moment. And the Warriors are just cruising along in the same position that they left last year as one of the best teams in the league. I just think that, you know, the Cavs are not quite yet 100% if this game were to happen a month later, because it looks like Isaiah Thomas, who, you know, notably the Cavs got in the offseason with the trade from Boston, that it was Kyrie Irving going to Boston and Cleveland getting Thomas and some draft picks and another couple of players as well. If Thomas had had a chance to work himself into shape and work himself into the lineup, it might be a different game, because I think the Cavs are just going to have trouble keeping up with the scoring of the Warriors on Christmas.
Yeah, I think we'll see what happens on Monday, but both of those teams' fans wanting a nice Christmas present in a win there. We'll see how that works out. We go from two teams in the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors who have dominated their sport to two teams that really haven't in Major League Baseball. And this was October into November with the World Series. We saw two teams that we're not used to seeing at baseball's biggest stage, on baseball's biggest stage. The Los Angeles Dodgers hadn't won the World Series since 1988, and the Houston Astros had never won the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, and I believe we mentioned this when it was going on. You look at the Los Angeles Dodgers and going back to their heritage as the Brooklyn Dodgers, and you remember them as this iconic franchise in Major League Baseball, and then you forget about the fact that it wasn't since the late 1980s that they were in the World Series when they defeated the Oakland Athletics. And that was a scrappy Dodgers team that didn't have a ton of stars. And then here you fast forward, and the Dodgers are one of the most expensive teams in probably all of sports, if you think about their payroll. You know, maybe only some of the Champions League contenders in European soccer have the kind of payroll that the Dodgers have, but they hadn't made it through the National League and gotten to the World Series. And then you look at game one of the World Series where the Dodgers just shut down the Astros. Remember, it was about 100 degrees when that game started. The Dodgers shut down the Astros. It looked like the Dodgers were going to cruise to another championship, but lo and behold, Houston, you know, which was a team that had lost 100 games more than two years in a row, going back just a handful of seasons, manages to pull it out, you know, with a combination of clutch pitching from guys like Justin Verlander, who came over at the end of the season from the Detroit Tigers, and really amazing hitting from guys like George Springer and Jose Altuve, and, you know, good defensive plays at the last couple innings of the game. And, I mean, when the Astros were having trouble getting Dodgers players out late in the game, I really thought that the Dodgers were going to pull out a couple of those games. The fact that the Astros managed to win, like the one game was 13-12, really is an exciting thing to remember when you look back at the 2017 sports season. So the Astros, you know, had a huge thing coming on the heels of the terrible floods in their city to really boost up the morale of the people who follow sports in Houston and in the rest of the U.S.
Absolutely, and that's a great place to end our conversation. Thank you very much, Dan Friedel, for your insights into the 2017 year in sports. And finally, as Dan mentioned, a personal note, as Sonny mentioned on Wednesday, today is my last day with the Sunny Side of Sports and the Voice of America. I'll be starting a new job in the new year, and so since this is my last show before I leave, I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you to all of you out there who have listened to my social media reports and as I've filled in for Sunny. Working on the Sunny Side of Sports has truly been one of the highlights of my time here at the Voice of America, and I will always remember it fondly. And with that, we end the December 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer Skip Sisk, and thank all of you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Andrew Palcheski in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an international public service announcement by the United States government.
The United States has expanded its offer of rewards for information on key leaders of terrorist organizations to include a leader of one of the groups conducting attacks on government facilities and other targets in northern Nigeria, roiling the nation in sectarian violence. Abu Bakr Shekau is the leader of the group commonly known as Boko Haram, a Nigeria-based extremist organization seeking to overthrow the current government there and replace it with a regime based on a strict interpretation of Islamic law. Links with terrorist groups such as Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab have strengthened Boko Haram's capacity to conduct its attacks. Previously, the group's number two, Shekau claimed overall command in July 2010, expressing solidarity with Al-Qaeda and threatening the United States. A vehicle bomb attack on the United Nations headquarters in Abuja in August 2011 marked the group's first lethal operation against Western interests, killing at least 23 people and injuring 80 others. In April 2012, the group bombed a Nigerian newspaper office in Abuja and later threatened other local and international news outlets, including The Voice of America. Under his leadership, the group has kidnapped hundreds of children to serve as hostages, bearers, and even fighters. Shekau is tall, slim, and has a dark complexion. He was born in Yobe, Nigeria, sometime between 1965 and 1975, and is of the Kanuri ethnicity. He speaks Arabic, Hausa, Fulani, and Kanuri. He is known to have used the aliases Abu Bakr Sikwa and Imam Abu Bakr Shekau. The Rewards for Justice program is offering a reward of up to $7 million for information leading to Shekau's location. The U.S. promises that all credible reports will be investigated and the identity of all informants will be kept confidential. If appropriate, the U.S. is prepared to protect informants by relocating them and their families. If you have information on this man, contact the nearest U.S. embassy or consulate, or submit a tip to www.rewardsforjustice.net, or email information to info@rewardsforjustice.net. You may also call the Rewards for Justice tip line at 1-800-877-3927.
That was an international public service announcement by the United States government.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in, you will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscast covering Africa news. Tune in on the top of each hour 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.